Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Dave Thomas. Thank you so much for tuning in to this show. Before we get started, we want to say a special thanks to the companies who helped make this show possible. And those companies include Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Burris, The Bow Hitch, Scott Archery, and Trophy Ridge. Also, special shout out to Deer Camp Coffee for keeping us caffeinated throughout the show and keeping us entertaining for you. The Outdoor Podcast was created and produced by BowhunterPlanet.com. If you ever want to learn archery, please check out BowhunterPlanet.com and you get a minute to learn the skills you need to become an archer or a bow hunter. And now, on to the show. All right, guys, welcome to Between Two Bows. Actually, no, it's not called that. Just the Outdoor Podcast. Brian's here from G5. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So thanks for coming, number one.
Absolutely.
So was this what you expected? Or?
You know, I've seen the videos, so yeah, no, but it's really cool down
just
here,
just one
man.
big room, really, and then we broke it up a little bit, I guess. Yeah, there is a bathroom, still, by the way. If you
need. Very cool. No, this is awesome. I mean, I've seen some pretty awesome basements, but this one takes the cake.
Sure. Have you ever seen so many competitor bows in one spot?
No, I'll be honest. That kind of shocked me.
Yeah, there's a lot
down here. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. We try to hold on to bows a couple years if possible, just so that we have them for reference.
Yeah, no,
you know,
absolutely.
When people ask questions, like, oh, here's the prime from 2 years ago, mm-hmm. or, you know, so we try to do that as much as we can, but it gets a little cluttered. So over there on that couch is all the offload we're getting rid of. We're we got to start getting rid of all these because
no, I mean, we kind of do the same thing. We have competitors' bows and we got our bows and we just kind of stockpile them on the shelf just to, go back and look and see where it is. A lot of it, you know, is possibly just looking at patents and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, things pop out and you go, well, I think somebody had that before, and, you know, back and forth. So
it was interesting going to G5 and seeing the older bows you guys had. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. And actually, I posted one video of an older one and people went nuts. They had like all those levers on it and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, dang, that's cool. So thanks to the hat, by the way. This one's cool,
brother.
Man. This one is, I love the camo. Is this like some sort of like old school camo or
no,
something?
No, it's First Light Fusion.
Oh, it's First Light. Yep. Sorry. For some reason, I was thinking. Yeah,
it does
whatever.
Have that old school look.
It does
though.
Have old school feel to it. I was like, ah. So over this past year, you know, we'll start with G5 a little bit before we get into Prime. But over this past year, so in 23, you guys ended 23 on what I would say a very high note, claiming both golds for fixed and mechanical in the Golden Arrow Awards, which was a big deal because it's a consumer-based vote. And so you edged out Rage, you guys edged out Muzzy, which is hard to do. I mean, Montech's been a leader, of course, for years, you know. But I guess, what do you think contributed to that extra push at the end or to give you guys that lead, I guess, in that market?
I mean, like you said, Montech has been a staple in households for 20 years. I mean, that's one of the reasons I came over to G5. That's the products I was using before I even, you know, came over the company. So it's just been a staple. It continues to work. You can resharpen it. I mean, just a gold standard when it comes to, you know, a hunting broadhead. So, I mean, we've been pretty proud of that when we've been able to add to that with the carbon steel and then going with the M3, you know, being able to kind of evolve with through ages. So still have the classics, but still, you know, bring in the modern. So I think we've done really good on that one. The mechanical side, I think we just kind of hit a home run. You know, I mean, we've always been in the mechanical market. We've had the tech ends and then evolved into the T3s. And, you know, the one thing we've always kind of focused on was three blade mechanicals, and that's going to change for this year. We can talk more about that, but just producing a very quality, consistent broadhead. Not knocking some of the other brands, but a lot of the other brands have taken their products over to China. Things have been inconsistent. I mean, broadheads that people have been using for years and years and years just don't seem to work the same. And that's the nice thing about ours is they continually work the same every single time you use it. Another thing is we're all stainless steel on all of our heads. So you're getting a short, compact broadhead, flies like your field point. But you also get a head like the Dead Meat or the Mega Meat that just produces insane entrance and exit holes. And I think the biggest word there is entrance holes. A lot of the broadheads out there are designed to not even open up until they get into the rib cage. Ours explode on entry. So I mean, you're getting an amazing entrance hole. I mean, not even amazing, kind of almost gory entrance hole. And that always helps if you don't get a pass-through shot. Yeah. So if you hit that opposite shoulder, you know, you still have this amazing entrance hole so the cavity can fill up and you can still get blood out. If you get a pass-through, then you've got a killer entrance and exit hole to, you know, to produce, I mean, quick ethical kills. So, and it was, I mean, we did a lot of marketing behind it, but honestly, I think it was a lot of word of mouth. I mean, once somebody shot one, it was, dude, you got to check out this Mega Meat. You got to shoot this Dead Meat. Like it was just, everybody was so excited about it. And when we could say it, I mean, you said at 23, we came out on top on the awards, but we came out on top on sales too. Like the amount of people that are coming out and getting Mega Meats and Dead Meats in their hand has been, I mean, we just got to say thank you to our customers, you know? So,
So that leads me to a funny, question about that is like, I never thought of it till you just said this, about broadheads in the marketing is that it's gory. So it makes it a little harder.
It is a little hard
to kind of show off what you're doing. I understand we can get away with it to some extent, but it makes it pretty hard when you think about it, 'cause you can't really show blood in a lot of things and different marketing.
We definitely got to be careful. We are blessed that it is a broadhead. So at least on the social media side, you can't really do a lot of advertising or boosted posts, with a bow, a gun, even an arrow. But somehow broadheads are allowed to because they are not a projectile. They're just part of an arrow. So we do get away a little bit more gory than most other product categories. But you still got to be careful because, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it, there's been times where we've messed around with photography and we put, like, fake blood on things like that. So I guess that would make sense because you could really – it might not be real, realistically. You don't know. I mean,
There's definitely been that case. I mean, we haven't had to do that with the Mega Meat and Dead Meat just because so many people have sent in, you know, great footage. You know, we work with some great ambassadors. So, you know, we've been able to use it.
Like playing with the fake blood.
Trust me. We have definitely done that before, you know. So, trying to buy a jug of fake blood in June is not the easiest thing to find, but, you know.
There's definitely Halloween places
around
here.
Stockpile up on Halloween and go from there. So,
The broadheads, they did so well. I was blown away. And what you said about the Mega Meat, Dead Meat is absolutely 100% accurate. Like every time I'm on a live feed, when we're talking broadheads, people always drop in those names. They're always dropping them in. Oh, what do you think of the Dead Meat? What do you think? You know, it's like, wow, you know, it's really taking hold. But I will say that I 100% agree with you on the comment about one of the reasons you guys are moving up so good is that the quality. So you're making these in-house in Michigan here, and I've seen it myself, like the machine cutting the tips. I mean, it's like strong. It's not from China. It's not imported. That's a big deal. And you're still people are still paying around the same price for they would an import.
Exactly.
So of course they want to levitate towards, you know, the better stuff.
Yeah. No, and we do. We try to do as much as we possibly in-house. We don't shy away from saying if we do an import, we import for the best reasons we can. I mean, it's not we're going to send the entire product over to China. It's, we work with a blade manufacturer in Northern Europe because we know they make the sharpest and the cleanest blades. We work with some MIM sources outside the country, but they're the best. I mean, we've worked with MIM sources in the country. They're just not as top quality. So there is things that we do export out, but it's usually a small component. We still finish it, machine it in-house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you were there. I mean, you see we do 99% of everything in-house. They're assembled in-house. They're packaged in-house, designed in-house. I mean, we do as much as we can, you know,
Is that called the ferrule, the main part?
Yeah, so the marine broadhead. So, like, ours is a two-piece system, at least on the Mega Meat and the Dead Meat. The new T2 is going to be an all-one-piece system. But, yeah, so it's considered a ferrule. So some people one call the, you know, if it has a back stem, so you might hear stem and ferrule. Mm-hmm. But we consider it just a ferrule, so.
That's good. Now, I'll propose an opposite question for you because this is an interesting question. I ask this question to smaller broadhead companies a lot, and I say to them, you know, how are you going to compete versus the G5s of the world, the Rage of the world, the whatever, right? And they have their answers and everything. But I would propose the opposite question to you is how do you stay on top? How do you keep doing what you're doing and not let the smaller broadhead companies slowly eat away at your pie? You know,
it's definitely tough. I mean, every year there's probably 10 to 15 new broadhead companies out there. I mean, it's a passion project for sure. I mean, people love broadheads. I mean, if you... You know, you talk about two things in the hunting industry, or well, at least in the archery industry, it's bows and broadheads. Rests get a little bit of talk, sights get a little talk, but bows and broadheads are your top tier. So at least we're on top because of that. People are talking about them the most. I think our biggest thing is we just don't bring out product to bring out product. There's a lot of brands out there that just continue to bring out product year after year after year after year. And honestly, I think it just eats at their own sales. It doesn't necessarily, you know, go into anybody else's. So what we do is we focus on making the most top quality products we can. And the biggest word we probably use internally is intuitive. We want a system that's going to be very, very easy to re-engage a blade, to prove that, you know, somebody can just screw it on their broadhead and, you know, screw it on their arrow and shoot. There's a lot of broadheads out there that almost are too complicated to go out and use. So we kind of keep it on the simple side, really easy to use. And, you know, put time and effort into it. Like I said, we'll talk about the new T2 pretty quick. I mean, Nate and, you know, he probably had 40 different renditions of a ferrule.
Wow.
You know, 30 renditions of a blade. You know, the little clip that's going to retain the blade. 30, 40 renditions of that. It's not like we just get close and then we go, okay, let's ship this product out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Nate underneath a microscope filing an edge of one side to make sure it's beveled. And for
good
guys
job,
that,
Nate.
Yeah,
good
yeah. Job, say for the guys that don't know, Nate. Nate's one of the owners and one of our head engineers, not the one of the head engineer. That just goes the extra mile, you know, those little things. I mean, to make sure a broadhead's not going to open on a crossbow, to make sure it, you know, it opens on an animal, you know, and that's the thing about what we do on our mechanical side is we do a rear deploying blade system. They want to open up. Yeah. That's the point is, you know, the weight's there, the arrow wants to shoot, the blades want to open up. So we got to go on that fine line between keeping it shut out of the bow and opening as soon as it hits the animal. So it's just a lot of those little nuances that I think kind of takes us to the next level over a lot of brands.
It seems like the head of a broadhead is very important. And, you know, I don't know what goes into the idea of how to decide on what head to use, the tip, very tip of a head, because the one you just showed me was pretty sweet. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's really cool. And the ones you guys have already done is really cool. And I think about that, but like, is there any issue with the tip of a broadhead? Can you do whatever you want on the front end, or is there patents on those too?
There's always patents. So
there's always a showstopper.
There's always a showstopper, you know, and, that's part of, you know, I mean, there's designs on the point, there's trademarks on the points. I mean, so I mean, it's kind of, I think you can kind of do what you want, but then you got to start making sure that you've got to tweak it. One biggest thing is just being able to figure out the weight. So if you go too long, 100 grains is 100 grains. You can't go over, you can't go under, you got to stay at 100 grains. And it's a lot to nuances to get into a 100 grain broadhead. So there's, you know, a lot of systems, a lot of nose. Like we try to stay away from the bleeder blade kind of system that a lot of blades or a lot of broadheads do. They can bend, they can roll, you know, so we try to go with a really sharp chisel nose type heads. That also has to do with, you know, the hardness you can get into it. So depending on the steel that we use, we try to use a lot of like 17-4s, 420s, you know, nice medical grade stainless steels, because stainless steel can still rust. So we got to push it towards the cleaner side, but you also have to make sure that you have enough iron in it that's going to get hard. So there's that fine balance there. And that also comes to do with that nose design. So just kind of trying to make sure you have one that's a bone buster, that's going to cut and, you know, make the blades open quickly. So there's some little fine nuances that we try to use to make sure we kind of stay consistent across our heads. So
when you guys make a broadhead like the Montech, are you like, is that something that like just constantly is in production, or how does that work? Like
every single day,
because I would say like when I went there, the one thing I was really like blown away by was the stock. Like when we walked through the back and I'm like, holy, you know, crap. There was this, you know, I mean, there's just towers of product that's going out the door. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, like I just can't believe there's that many bow hunters that you buy. There, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, wow, how many people are buying broadheads? You know, love of God.
3 million plus bow hunters in the United States. And we have, you know, we're sitting on, there's not a really great way to check where you're sitting in the industry besides some taxing things that we can take a look at. But we're sitting on about 25% of the market share. Wow. So, which is a pretty awesome number. Yeah. We're pretty excited about that.
Is the Montech still your number one seller?
Montech is still number one. And,
it's like, a very impressive head though.
Yeah. You know, it's been a staple. I mean,
who designed that one?
That's Nate. So Nate,
that is
we started with a two blade that really didn't take off that much, but then we got into the Montech within 2 years and it's been a staple ever since. Like you said, I mean, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's the heart of the company. The grind cell for the Montechs has,
the Montech is just, it's really, here's what I think happens, and this is just my opinion from the lives I'm on and talking to people. I think people get bored. That's the best way I can describe it. Like, people know it works, and they know it works. They know it's tried and true. They use it all the time. They kill tons of animals with it. But then they're always like, what do you think of that dead meat? You know what I mean? Because they want to try something else. And I get it completely. I do it all the time. I am a person who shoots 3-4 bows a year at animals, 3 different bows, and I use different broadheads on every single hunt because I'm trying to test things. You know, again, I bring it back to you guys, I bring it here. My whole concept is more along the lines, I want some knowledge of something, right? I don't want to just go in with just Montechs all the time because I know they work. I've already used them, you know. But I've seen a Montech go on a bow, shoot a deer, come off a bow, go on a crossbow, and shoot a deer. The same Montech.
Oh, we have guys.
It's unbelievable.
So when I was doing customer service for a long time, we had guys that would call in and it would be like a contest. I'm at my seventh deer with this Montech.
I'm at
my eighth deer with this Montech.
Do you recommend them resharpening those?
So yeah. So the nice thing about the Montech is it is a 90-degree blade angle, which is, 90-degree angle when you flip it over, 60-degree blade angle. You can put it on a flat stone and resharpen them up really, really easy. Couple little passes. We recommend you put a Sharpie marker on it. Grind it till basically rub it till that side comes off, count those strokes and do all three sides. And you can continue to use that broadhead. I mean, if you get some big giant nicks and dings, it might be time to replace it or use it as a target head.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a head that holds up. I mean, and you know, going from the standard Montech to the carbon steel, which is even harder, the new M3, which is even harder than that. I mean, they tend to keep on using year after year after year after year. So, it's pretty cool. Like, I mean,
it's a hard one to beat.
It is a hard one. And you said it. People like to play. People like to experiment. Yeah. And I think broadheads are probably the most economical thing in the archery world that you can continue to do that. You buy a bow, you're not going to, you know, play, you know,
most
much
likely
of that.
You're not buying another one.
Most likely. There's some guys out there that buy a few a year. You know, sights and rests, things like that. It gives you a little bit of play, but with the cost of those going up, broadheads tend to be the one. And we see it. We see it all the time. Guys go out there and they've been shooting Montechs or Megameats or Dead Meats for years, even Strikers, and they want to play with another brand. Mm-hmm. They want to try this new broadhead. They want to try this new design or this new theory. And a lot of them, you know, they have great products out there, but a lot of them tend to come back just to those tried and trues after, you know. But it's, like I said, it's something you can get out there and play with. I mean, I seen it on Dudley shared it, but I don't think it was his page. It's his like a flag that's that knock-on flag. And it was a guy made it for his cousin, and it had nothing but all the broadheads he killed animals through. Wow. And you should have seen it. I bet you it had 25 different broadheads on there. So somebody in their career of archery or, you know, is going to have, you know, testing a different broadhead. You could definitely tell he came back to certain ones. There's probably two or three on there that were his go-tos, but you know, through the years he played with all kinds of stuff.
It's interesting the dynamic of the history of archery in the sense of the broadhead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was younger, Thunderhead was like the big one to start. Then the Muzzy with that bone crusher on the front. And now the Montech. I mean, honestly, it's really rolled to that.
Oh, it's been,
the people who used to shoot Muzzy, like that I know, and Thunderheads all shoot Montechs.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting how it like kind of every 10 years almost, like, and now, if I'm being honest, I never hear a thing about the Thunderhead anymore. And I never hear a thing about that Muzzy 3 blade, which was at the time.
And they're still out there, and I know there's still people
that's
use them,
interesting,
you know.
About it, though.
But
they're
I mean, I think that go-to head is the Montech. Yeah, I think it's simplicity. I mean, one, you don't have to mess with blades.
Yeah.
You know, it's a screw-on shoot product. You can take it off at the end of season, put it in your case, keep shooting, throw them back on, you know, do it a little sharpen up, and you can put them back on, you know.
It's hard to, if you haven't used a Montech, it's really hard to describe it because it's a one piece.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's machined one piece. So you have a solid construction that's like skeletal construction, really, that you can't get away from. I mean, it's, How long does it take the machine?
So it is a MIMT process. So that's the start of it. A lot of people don't realize that. So
what's that mean?
So MIM is molded injected metal. So
okay.
Most people in the industry are, when you think about metal, it's either forged, which is a stamped, basically you take a block and you stamp it.
Okay.
What am I going to say here? Casting, which is a liquid metal.
Got it.
And problem with liquid metal is it's very brittle. It can have bubbles. It can have casting.
Where's that used a lot? Like in bows or
no? Not a lot. Old magnesium bows. That was all casted. Anything that has intricate shape that you don't want to do a lot of machining, but it's usually parts that are not high impact or things like that. So, I mean, anything, you know. So it's kind of more of a brittle system. And then there's machining. So we kind of went outside the box and we went with MIMing. So MIMing is basically you take a powdered metal and you mix it with wax. And then you basically have a mold, just kind of like the casting process. But when you bake it or when you heat it, the wax burns away and only leaves the metal.
Wow.
So it basically leaves no imperfections. It leaves there's no voids, there's no mold, you know, anything like that. So it leaves a one solid piece. It's basically kind of how they do blocks and before they do all the machining, you know. So we were able to kind of take that process, which was in the gun world, hammers on guns, triggers, hard impact things that you would need to make sure your hunt or, you know, just your protection of your family is going to be there for when you need it. So we took that process this is our 24th year. 2024 is 24 years, right?
Crazy.
And we started with a two blade, and then we got into the Montech. But once it's molded, we go through and machine it. We go through and machine the edges. We make sure it's square. We do all that stuff. So it's a two-stage process. So it's a pretty fairly quick machine time. It's the molding process or the MIMing process that is the intricate one. I mean, and we had the patent on it till just last couple of years. So there is some other brands you're seeing out there
starting to
use it. But we've really learned so much. We kind of have some nuances and some things like, you know, having
you got
the process.
The
you got the Montech, you know. the Mega Meat and the Dead Meat Ferals are done that way, you know. So we've really been able to kind of fine-tune it in a way nobody else ever has. Yeah. So
what's let's talk this T2 then.
Yeah.
So tell us about this new head.
So we're launching a new broadhead. The dealers are already starting to order them, so they should have pre-product in sometime around May. We're hoping a little sooner to get some more turkeys with it, but they will be in the shops in May. But we really kind of focus on, I think I said it earlier, on three blades. Mm-hmm. It's always been our specialty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there that won't leave certain brands because they're two blades. They love that big giant slice, that big giant cut. So we've been working on a project for the two blade system. It's an all machine, one piece stainless steel ferrule. So like we said earlier, you know, MIM or machine, we're always going to go, you know, one of those two, fully machined stainless steel. And it's a two blade rear deploy, just like we've done in all of our other systems. And something we've specialized in our broadheads, or at least our mechanicals, is how intuitive and how easy it is to snap a blade back into place.
Yeah.
Or if you're looking at it, checking out, you want to snap it in. So that's one thing a lot of the other brands have done. Okay. I think we've done better. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a brand new internal clip system that you can just slide the blade in. You'll feel it. It's a positive click, even a, you know, positive feel and a positive sound. And then the second blade will be a little snugger because it's putting tension from both sides. Sorry about that. And it's gonna be really sweet. Like, we just got back from Texas. We're working with John Dudley on this one. He kind of helped us lean into some ideas that he's, you know, his 20 years, 30 years of hunting, you know, and our 20, 30 years of design work and, you know, kind of coming together on a project on how, you know, the best way to make a two-blade broadhead. So we're really excited about it. I mean, it's going to be really big entrance cuts, really great exits.
It looks
awesome. Like I said,
I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty quality, I guess would be the word I would say.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel cheap at all. It feels very well done. It feels like a heavier metal. It feels great. And I was going to ask you about the clip system. So there's a lot of clip systems in the industry. I mean, this must have been very tricky to figure out patent-wise, because like I feel like there's a lot of different
systems. So many patents out there.
That
so I mean that's one thing.
Who did that? Nate?
So Nate did that. That's been his baby project. I mean, for the last year. I mean,
man,
we originally started it wanting to use our clip system that we have in the Mega Meat and the Dead Meat. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's used those broadheads knows how easy it snaps in and how intuitive it is. So we started with that, and the problem with it is on a two-blade system, it makes it wider because you're putting the blades opposite from the outside. Mm-hmm. You're getting to a spot that's not very sleek, not very aerodynamic. So he basically decided we're going to put the blades inside the ferrule. So instead of an outside track, this actually cuts a hole, which, I mean, anything, if you talk to an engineer and they say, here's a product and I'm going to cut a hole through the center of it and put a slice down there, that's the first no-no. You just don't do that. You know, you just ruined the integrity of the project. Or so Nate had to figure out how to slice it down the middle, still keep the strength, still be able to have the blades work smoothly. I mean, there's little nuances. Like I said earlier, Nate was, you know, looking under microscopes and filing little edges, and the original clip system. I mean, when you guys see it, it's a very small steel plate, stainless steel plate on the inside that has basically nipples, whatever you want to call it, that has a positive locking on the blade. So the blade has a divot in it. It clicks in and clicks in from the other side. So Nate had to go through there and figure them out. I mean, some of the very first ones, he was basically taking denting a piece of metal with a screwdriver or a little punch or a file, and then putting it in there and finding out, okay, oh, that was a little too much, you know, bumping it back and forth. A lot of little handwork, you know, once the design was getting there. And now we've kind of found out the tensions we want, you know, 100 and 125, and we believe we were a little nervous about a crossbow head. I think now that we've actually built it, I think we're going to be able to kind of.
Do you guys know how many feet per second it can handle?
Right now, I mean, that's the question. So what we have found out, it's feet per second is a major factor, but it's also the weight.
If you need a 515 from 10 point,
exactly. Our reps do rep 10 point, so we do
kind of the power.
We usually reach out to 10 point and got it. So that's a concern to us, because it's not necessarily just how much tension is there; it's how much the blade weighs. I don't want to say all this because they're going to kind of get some of our. But we've got mathematical formulas. Like if the blade weighs this much, we have to have this much tension to hold it and go back and forth to be able to do that. So we were a little nervous on it, because this is about double the blade weight that we normally do on a broadhead. So
I feel like you have to be a min 400, and you have to be.
Oh, maybe we're in the fours.
Maybe even 450, because I feel like a lot of the crossbows now are like between 4 and, well, now 515. Yeah. So I guess the 500 mark gives you the ability to say not good for 500, right? Exactly. You could actually say up to only 460 on the package.
And we on the Mega Meat and the Dead Meat, we say about 450 is where we draw the line up that. Line yeah. That I mean, we don't put it on the package, but we talk. But 450 is about that number. Anything above that, more than likely, you can probably shoot a Mega Meat and Dead Meat, and it'll go exactly where you want it to be, but the blades are going to be open in flight. So we don't want to be not honest on that. Yeah. So this one's a little newer, so we're going to have to figure that out. It's a lot of power, man.
You didn't make it really for that. You made it for a compound.
We made it for a compound. Like, I mean,
yes, you can try, you know, and I know Montex shoots awesome out of those. Oh,
Strikers, Montex, we can do it. I mean, everybody's going to these faster crossbows. So, I mean, we definitely want to have a product like that. And we're going to work on the new T2 to see where we can get up on that speed number. And we didn't launch it this year as a crossbow head, just because we wanted to make sure that we didn't just rush something out. So there's a future on that. And then there's a future on if we just come out and develop a specific crossbow broadhead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when we're getting these speeds, because I think the crossbow world is probably could go faster. They're holding. They're waiting on the broadhead world.
Things are definitely moving.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check, with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton match-grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses, to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. Even though that this location is in the heart of Macomb County, it's in Sterling Heights, Michigan, we are known nationwide and overseas and in Canada. This location specifically, we had a lot of other Made in Michigan and Macomb County residents that were in the same boat. So they came walking through our doors as well. And so what you see here today is just a culmination of different vendors, products, partnerships, and Made in Michigan products in our store today. We have our hunting line buck baits, which is lures and attractants. And we also have Uncle Henry's gourmet meats, which is wild game, jerkies. We have Honey, it's Great Lakes Pickling Company, which is a Macomb County partner. Williams Cheese, Youper Bars, and Mackinac Island Fudge. People come here for that as well. When customers come in, if they're new, they don't know what to expect. And they always get greeted with, welcome to Deer Camp. And then they start looking around. They start realizing it's a lot of home products that they have in their house, maple syrups and coffee. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
And I'll say this big announcement they're about to say right now, the new Prime crossbow.
Not even happening. Montana Rifles is our crossbow.
That's right. I forgot you guys went that direction. I'm actually glad to see you guys not get into the crossbow market, to be honest. Just because it's so flooded already. And
it's a saturated market. We're vertical bows. Yeah. We're internal. I mean, most, not saying the high-end stuff, but most of the crossbows are, you know, imported in. It's just not our style.
Yeah.
And we love bows. We love bows. I mean, that's going to be our baby. It's always going to be our baby. You know, and like I said, we got into rifles this year with Montana Rifles, so that's kind of our crossbow.
That's the new thing, yeah, trying to figure out.
Yeah, and that's something new that we're working on. So, I mean, that's kind of
our
goals.
That's got to be fun
marketing. Yeah, that's a whole new ball game right there. Talk about stuff you can't market, you know?
Yeah,
so,
it's really hard. I know. I've had some experience helping some brands in the industry, and I was like, this is, you can't post anywhere. I mean, YouTube, I think you can, but it's
YouTube,
about it.
You can. Some of the brands like ESPN, things like that, you can work through those. But,
yeah.
You know, social media, you can't advertise. You can't, boost posts. So it's going to be a new one for us. I mean, we're definitely excited about it, but it's going to be a new challenge for us for sure.
All right, let's talk Prime here. So Prime is, in my opinion, just done so well over these past few years. I mean, competition-wise, you're right there in the market. I mean, there's no
appreciate
doubt
that.
About it. It's head-to-head with Matthews, Hoy. I mean, you guys are head-to-head. It's not even a question. So I guess what has driven these changes? You know, like how do you guys feel about it? Because I feel like it's going very well, but is it going well to you guys, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we always – I think any brand wants to sell more product out there, but we're not going to just build bows to build bows. We have build bows for a purpose-driven. You know, we kind of – internally say we beat to our own drum just because there's so many things on the Prime bow. We started with the parallel cams, started with 7000 series before it was really even a thing. You know, we go after real world solutions, real world problems, and try to fix those. I mean, not saying that other brands don't do that, but we kind of think outside the box when it comes to center grip, you know, for better balancing. Mm-hmm. The parallel cam, when we started to eliminate and reduce cam lean and, you know, make an arrow shoot better at long distance. Our new core cam system, basically I call it a helicoil. It's basically an internal track. So a lot of guys were a little nervous when we went away from the parallel to the new cam system because it looks just like a binary system. But a lot of people don't realize there's an actual track in the cable. When you're at rest, your cables, I don't know if you can see this or not, or if you hear it, the outside cable track on all bows is doesn't line up with the string. Mm-hmm. So it's either on one side or the other. And then once you go to full draw, it still has to pull towards the cable guard.
Yep.
The problem with that is you got balance loads on one side or the other of the string. Well, this cable track actually moves and kind of rotates behind the string. So as you draw, the string and the cables line up perfectly
together.
In one motion.
Yeah.
So it's the only system out there that does it. It basically fights cam lean. It helps you stay steadier, you know, long distance shots. I mean, we have a great feeling bow. I mean, I think we can keep up with everybody at 5 yards in the archery shop, like most brands do. But our specialty is getting out 20, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 yards and being able to see how much better you can hold on a target.
Yeah.
Acquire the target faster, you know. The things that we really need for hunting situations. I mean, I know a lot of people say, hey, I was at draw for 3 or 4 minutes. More than likely it was 60 seconds. But it feels like that in the woods.
It does.
So you
want
to be able to, when you're tired and when your emotions are running, you want to be able to get on that target and stay on that target longer. And we don't, you know, there might be does out there. There might be situations where it walks behind a tree and you got to wait it out.
Yep.
We want a bow that's going to be able to still be there steady on the target when those situations happen. So really we kind of look outside the box. Like the swerve on the bottom of the risers, mm-hmm. a lot of people look at it and go, oh, it's just a curve in the riser. No, that actually, all bows flex. All aluminum, all metal has to flex. I mean, if you don't want a bow that flexes, you're going to have to build a 20-pound steel bow, you know? So everybody's gone to trussing and things like that in the industry, which they look great. They do stiffen the risers up. The problem with it is, are they matching top for bottom? So you can have the best cam system in the world, but if your riser flexes different top for bottom, then your cams aren't necessarily in time. And a lot of guys go, man, my bow's in time, but it still doesn't work. It could be a riser. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be. So what we've done, like on the swerve, we've actually, you know, it won't, it's not just a dip. It's actually a twist too. So that matches the actual cutout of the sight window and the shelf for the arrow window. So basically now the bottom and the top match at full draw. So they're going to flex.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So they're going to flex. So we want them to flex exactly perfect. And we make it as minimal as we possibly can. But we also want to watch, you know, make sure it's perfect. So, yeah, we just kind of think outside the box. You know, we try not to be the very first one to kind of jump on board when it comes to an idea or not a trend. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say idea because obviously we went with the QAD mount this year. We went with Picatinny. You know, a lot of those things are starting to grow in the industry.
This thing's actually cooler than people think, though, right here. That's
Simple things like that. You know, we,
it's a little snap
we have
on piece.
Yeah, we have an axle cap to make sure the compression system works on our cams, and we come with an axle cap. It snaps right on, so you can mount any rest on the market on. So just made it simple. You know,
yeah.
So.
This is it's amazing to me. You know, one of the comments I've been seeing a lot here and there, and I was gonna bring it up to you.
Yeah.
You already kind of mentioned it actually, but I don't think people realize that G5 Prime is a company that. Very innovative. Like Nate is a very innovative person. He's focused on like making things better and how can I change it to make it better? You know, so a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I do see the comment once in a while about the cam changes, right? From having the dual cams on top and bottom to now having one. And you know, why we get rid of that? Cause they liked it. People
liked absolutely.
It. But my point is like, I know Nate wouldn't have done that to a core cam if it wasn't important or it wasn't better or something more effective.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's the parallel cam was awesome. It did everything we wanted it to do, probably and more. The problem with it at the beginning is it was cam specific. So dealers or even a consumer had to have new cams to change a draw.
Yep.
So intuitive wise for that, it wasn't very easy. But the industry was kind of that way for a long time.
Would that have been four on total mods? Would you is it just still one per?
There was no mods. It was a full cam. So
you had to change
both cams. So it was a very big investment if somebody wanted to change the draw
line. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like you had to do the mods. I'm like, well, these are still mod, but then you're saying the actual whole
the
cam.
The whole
like,
cam. Wow. So yeah, the track was different. The outside of the cam was the same.
Easy.
So
yeah, that's
not easy. So then we were able to evolve. We went into the target system and we added a mod to it, but it really wasn't easy to change. So then we went to the rotating mod. And it worked great. It definitely is.
Yeah.
The plus and minus to the rotating mod is anytime you have a rotating mod, there's peak performances. So 29, 30, those are going to be your peak performances. And then as they go down, we want to make sure that somebody at 26 inches gets the same as a performance at 29. So like on a rotating mod, you might lose 10 feet per second between 29 and 30. But between 28 and 29, it might be 12.
Oh.
And then it starts to open up, might be 14, it might be 16, things like that. So you really get your peak performance at the top end. And then also, guys loved them, but we were up to 7 pieces of strings and cables.
Wow.
So it got to, you know, if somebody wanted to do custom strings and cables or anything like that, it just kind of got in people's heads a little bit. So we looked at what we can do and what we could, you know, evolve and change. I mean, I'll say it. Matthews was solo cam forever, and then they went into the Monster series, and they've been able to evolve there. I mean, there's going to be changes in your designs. But so we were able to kind of think outside the box. This was a design that Scott, Nate's partner, has had for years and years and years, and Nate was kind of like, I don't think that's going to work, you know? There's a lot to, you know, moving, cables moving and things like that. So we kind of got outside the box and started going, all right, let's take a look at some of those old designs that we wanted to use. And it wasn't the original design that Nate Scott, you know, developed, but it definitely evolved into something that's amazing. So it works and does the same exact, you know, low torque, fights cam lean, as the parallel cam did in a much simpler package.
Yeah.
For 1 year we had the inline cam that had a rotating mod on it. It was great. It worked well. Like we said, we lost a little performance. So what we did is the next year we came out with a core cam and it's a mod specific per draw length per every half inch. And then we've been able to even add to it this year and now have an adjustable draw stop that comes with the bows now. So you still get some play on your draw length, your feel, your let offs, all that kind of stuff. But you get your performance in every single draw length with the new core cam. Yeah. Easy tune. was the original shim system we had. We basically had three sets of shims. If you look on them, if you pop them out, there's a code on them.
Yeah,
one, two, and three. You always add to four. And now the new system is the Quick Tune. Basically, it's an open C-clip type axle or type system. So basically, you put it in a press, you loosen the axles, you don't have to remove the axles, take a tool or a crescent wrench or a flat screwdriver, give it a quick pop, it'll pop out, you move it to one side or whatever you want, put it back on there, and you don't ever have to take the bow, you know, and pull the axle or anything like that. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that. It's been a really good addition to it. It helps dealers be able to tune bows faster if there has been any issues. Intuitive. We try to make stuff easier and, you know, for everybody. There's more guys that are working on their bows at home. So if we can make it easier for them, that's what we're going to do. So,
you know, one of the aspects of the Prime bows is the nano grip. You guys have obviously put a lot of work into that grip. It's amazing. But the thing about it that's interesting to me is that what you've done is kind of created a carbon bow without a carbon bow. It's almost like you created what people want most of a carbon bow, which is holding warm to the touch bow.
Yep.
So you guys have actually fixed the solution without having to waste all the money on what people would call a carbon material, which is a lot more expensive. So
carbon's more expensive. It's not easy to change. You're building molds, you're building all these things. So you don't get as much innovation from year to year to year in being able to work with carbon. And not saying carbon doesn't have its benefits. It's stiff. It's nice. I mean, aluminum at the end of the day is still stiffer than carbon when it comes to. Carbon's great for weight ratios to strength.
Yeah. I was going to say that it's interesting to me because that's not necessarily true now because of if we see the competitors in the carbon market, some of them are at 4.5 and higher. I'm like, what are you, what?
Very light, you know.
That's not what I'm expecting when I'm a consumer. That's more heavier than this bow.
Exactly.
I'm like, you can't be heavier in aluminum. That doesn't make sense. You lost an aspect that's important. And with this grip, they lost the touch.
They lost that sense of touch. Which I'm like,
yes, in general, that should be that.
That should
some
be
brands
the,
are lower, yes, I will say that.
For sure. But so we knew that a lot of guys, carbon's cool, but also a big thing with carbon, especially here in the Midwest, is having a bow you can hold when it's cold, you know? So having a carbon grip is definitely nice for that factor. So we've been metallurgists at Hearts. We build medical thing, you know, aluminum and steel and components for the medical industry. We're really good at metals. So what we wanted to decide is how do we make a grip that feels great, that has that same comfort level, but is also kind of warm to the touch. And so what we found is we call it the nano grip, but it's called aerogel. It's the same material that NASA uses in their spacesuits. It's the same stuff they insulate their satellites, you know, orbiting, you know, Earth, to keep it warm. It's 99% air. There's been some clothing brands that have worked with it. It's not very easy to work with, but it's usually been a cube. I mean, you can find a video of these guys. They took one of Elon Musk's flamethrowers, and they basically have a sheet of it. And he's taking his hand on one sheet of it, and I think it's a half inch thick, and he's got his hand up against it. And the other side, the guy's got a flamethrower, and he's just pounding the stuff and pounding it and pounding it. And the heat never transfers through.
Wow.
So we were like, well, that's awesome. Like to us, we're like, that's the kind of stuff you need in your grip to keep it warm.
Seems expensive.
It's not cheap. I'll tell you that.
It seems really
it's
high.
It's not
high
cheap.
To put
so,
in there.
We also want to do is you'll notice our grip isn't just on the back of the bow. It's on the front of the bow. I mean, your fingertips are going to get cold if it's
gold.
Bare aluminum.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've built a polymer shell with our grip, but underneath it, there's a white material. It looks like two-sided sticky tape. But that's the actual aerogel. So that's what's
Got
insulating
it.
The riser.
So that's not the grip. It's
that's not the grip. That's so not tape. It's the actual material.
Have you guys ever considered colors for the grips or no?
We've looked at it. We definitely did.
I feel like that's easy money.
It could be. It's it's changed a little bit over the last couple of years. Colors don't seem to be as popular
as
much. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like we had color kits for the Prime Bows for a while, and it's kind of fizzled away. So we, you know, black is always king. So we just went with black. So
makes sense. So the Ronin, right? So we're talking about the, you know, so we went from the RevX and we went to the RVX.
Yep.
And then you guys also added in this quietly because you didn't tell me about it when I was at the shop, which just makes me so mad. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But the Ronin came in, kind of snuck into the fold, which is, I believe, $850 retail.
$850
which
retail.
Which is insane.
So
how? That's all I want to know. Like, how did you do this?
Cutting corners without cutting corners. Let's put it that way. So Prime has always, as a company, we've always wanted to be the top tier bow. We want to be in the top tier pricing. We want to put as much as we possibly can into technology for the price we put out there. So we've never really even looked at it. We had Quest for a long time. That's kind of where we started in the hunting or in the archery. No, in the bows, not archery, because yeah. Broadheads got us into that. But so we ran that for quite a few years, and we were box stores and things like that, and it just wasn't lining up with what we were doing. So we decided we were going to move away from that, and let's take what we've always kind of done in the Quest line. We've taken technology from Prime and trickled it down into Quest.
Yeah.
Why not just make the best damn bow for a price that we can? So we took the stiffness of our materials and the riser, the center grip, everything that you could get in a Prime bow and put it in a better package. So, I mean, it won't have the swerve. So, I mean, we made it as stiff as we could. So, I mean, things like that. We didn't put the Picatinny. We didn't put the QAD mount on it. We just simplified the riser. But hands down, I mean, I don't think you can touch it in the industry for the price point. You're getting everything of a flagship bow.
Yeah.
In an $849 price point. I mean, we had a conversation earlier, and I think you're not the only person that said it. Goes, it's almost too good for the price.
It's too good for the price, honestly. So any of your competitors who have a bow similar in the category are at $1,050, and this is $850. Yep. And then this bow shoots amazing. So, I'm shooting the bow going. And actually, I first learned about the bow through a guy named Botok on TikTok. So him and I are friends on there. So he's like, The Ronin. I'm like, what is he talking about? Because I didn't know you guys launched this Ronin quietly in the background. And so finally, when I got it, I'm like, this thing is unbelievable. And he's like, I told you. And so when I realized it was that cheap, I started thinking about it. And I'm like, I don't want to say it because it sounds bad because you guys make a premium bow, but it's kind of a premium bow killer because it realistically gives the consumer a chance to scale down a premium bow and get it for a good price, which is...
Yeah, it gives the opportunity. I mean... Anybody knows now walking into an archery shop, it's a $2,000 investment for a bow and all the accessories, if not more now. And that's great. And there's a lot of customers out there that want that. You know, I mean, we're going to always continue to be premium. We're always going to continue to put those, innovations into that. But there's a lot of guys out there that go, man, that's just too much for me to afford. So to bring out a bow that's $400 less than our flagship, $350 than our flagship, lets an opportunity for a guy to have more opportunities with getting a better sight or getting a better rest, able to take some of that time and go, okay, I can build a better bow and be about the same price as a flagship with great accessories on it. So, I mean, we're really excited to get into this marketplace and have more people be able to put Prime in their hands,
I've heard over the past, I don't know, maybe 3 years, I keep hearing this comment from people, not a lot, but some, that, the bows are priced out of the market. They're priced out of the market. No one can afford these bows anymore. And I didn't disagree 100% because it's going up slightly. Yep. But the thing is, I kind of saw it more in the crossbow market than I did in the compound market, absolutely. Of course, because there's a huge difference between a crossbow at $4,000 in some cases. Not that they're not good quality. They are. It's just very high end. And so, the compound bow market, it's been going up. It was, $1,100 for a while, $1,200. Now we're close to $1,300, $1,400. But... this changes it. That's why I was trying to explain to people. It's like, you say that, but that's not true because they are giving you options that are actually under $1,000, which is crazy. And then you can go further down too. I mean, if you want to get less or cheaper brands and go, you could. I mean, you could spend less money. But this bow at this price is, hands down. I mean, I don't know. You could beat it. I'll be honest. You guys kept on it almost everything the same as a premium bow except for the riser.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. It's got, and if you look at a lot of the sub premium bows,
pocket. I mean,
it's always a good riser with lesser quality limbs, lesser quality pockets. Mm-hmm. Old technology cams. What we wanted, and we knew the things that really, really shoot a bow, limbs, pockets, cams, we didn't want to change that.
That's what I'm saying.
We wanted to give that to you. It's amazing. And then we basically simplified the riser. Yep. So, is it going to have a little more vibration than, probably the RVX? Absolutely. Is it going to probably, at 100 yards, I mean, are you going to shoot a grapefruit over the size of an orange?
Maybe.
But is it really going to make that much of a difference? No. I mean, it's going to get somebody, it's got the flexing cable guard. It's got all those things in there. I mean, we did take the aerogel underneath the grip off. We took the swerve off, we didn't give you the accessory, to be able to put the new type accessories on it. But those are the things we had to do to still make a quality bow. Yeah. So if we had to... simplify some things to make a quality bow, then we're going to do it. But we're still going to make the best damn bow we can at those price points.
Yeah, it's still got the clips too.
Yeah, it still has the clip system. It still has that. Still has the same tuning. I mean, we didn't make it. And the cool thing about it is we're, the last couple of years, I mean, yes, we've been made easier to make it tuning with these easier clip systems and things like that. We've just been making a much better bow. And like, there's very few guys shimming these things anymore and having to even use the systems that we've been able to apply to it. So, you know, free strings and cables on our high-end bows.
Do people take advantage of that or not really?
Yeah, a lot of people do. Good. A lot of people do.
So
I think
every 2 years?
Every 2 years. So the day you register the bow is the day. So when you buy your bows, register them, guys, and you get free strings and cables. And you also get a free tune-up on your bow. You'll get a letter when you get the bow. When you register your bow, after 6 months, you can go in the shop, give them this letter we print, and they'll go free, you know, tune up your bow top for bottom.
I didn't know that.
And you get that too. So we just try to make it the best bow brand you can work with. So
I want to be clear on that, guys. So that is what you just said is like extremely important. And let me tell you why. So if I buy an RVX,
yep,
and I pay the same amount I pay for a Matthews or a Hoyt or an Elite, right? Same price, basically. Yep. Basically, it's close, whatever.
Close, yeah.
Maybe a little less, a little more, whatever. I'm going to get free strings every 2 years. So that's $100 and something.
Easy. It's closer to $200.
Is it $200? So $200. And you're going to get a free tuning, which is like $150 probably. So I'm just saying, like, if you add those in, you're already down under $1,000.
I mean, say if you...
That's crazy.
If you keep the bow for 6 years. I think most guys keep their bow from 3 to 4. But say you do it for 6 years. That's three sets of strings at almost $600 worth of value. $100 tune-up. Basically, you just bought a bow for $300 or $400 if you keep a bow for longevity.
Wow. I mean, is there any difference in the string? You know, a lot of your competitors are now pushing their premium strings. They're trying to say premium strings. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't. Is that really a thing, or they just changed a thread?
You know what I mean? It's different materials. It's different knot processes. It's all that kind of stuff. We make the best damn string we possibly can. And then anybody that's used our bows knows we make a damn good string.
So you're basically saying like yours competes versus those.
I would say
you're
not even worried
that they change the name to premium.
They can change it to platinum, premium, match grade, whatever they want. Our strings that come on all our bows, even our kids' bow and our Ronin, have the same top quality things there. They're all
but those go on your bow specifically. You don't sell those strings.
Nope, we don't make them for any other brand.
Just want to be clear. Ours, this show is sponsored by Gas Bow Strings.
And they make great strings.
I was just going to bring that up.
We only make black and gray strings. All of our cables come off of one single spool, so you're never going to have two different colors. And then the strings are black and gray. So what we have found, and a lot of brands have found, that different colors have different stretch rates. So we try to keep it as consistent as possible. So you're going to get those black colors. And if you're a guy that wants to go out there and get cool colors like Gas or any of the other brands out there, that opportunity is still out there for you. But we just try to keep it simple and try to keep it as consistent as we possibly
Again,
can.
Again, that's not on the Ronin. Just keep that in mind because that one's a little less money. But so when I get the new cables and strings, do I have to take it to a shop or do you just ship me the strings?
Nope, we ship it to a shop. So you have to go to the shop.
Got it.
The dealer will call us with your serial number. As long as the bow's registered for 2 years, we ship the string to the shop.
Perfect.
You might have to pay for labor.
Yeah.
Which I just want to make sure
because that basically indicates that you guys are making sure that the quality is going to stay the same.
Exactly.
They're putting it on. They're putting it on.
And you can put it on. It just still has to go through the dealer.
Got it.
So we just don't ship them. And the reason is one, you might have moved. You've done all these things. You know, like.
Well,
you
have that's a boat. The point.
Yeah, we just keep. We ship out strings every 2 years. They might show up to a house that you don't live at anymore. So you got to go to your dealer and, you know, so.
That's it, guys. Brian, thanks, man.
No, we appreciate you, man. It's been a lot of fun today.
I hope you guys learned something today, you know, from G5 Prime and all the great stuff they're doing. You know, it's just a lot of great things. You know what I mean?
Appreciate it.
It's really hard to pick one thing, you know, and you guys are all over the board, but it's really impressive. I'm really proud of you guys because you're a Michigan-based company. Of course, we're from Michigan, of course. But the other thing is that you haven't sold and you've kept pushing into the industry harder and deeper with the bows and kept going. And it's just, it's not easy to do. And there's a lot of risk, a lot of risk involved. And that's why when people get mad about certain things changing, it's like, you got to change. There's a risk.
There's a risk versus reward. And, you know,
everything you try. I mean, there's got to be broadheads that in your mind might have failed over the years.
Weren't
as good as you guys hoped.
We've made great broadheads.
Keep going, you know.
Yeah, that aren't in the lineup now. And then we take those ideas and we evolve them into something like the new T2 or the Megameat or the Dead Meat.
Yeah.
You know, and the same
take
thing
the
with
good things.
Same thing with the bows. Yeah. I mean, take what works and, you know, excel on them. Take the things that weren't, you know, move on to a different, you know, different idea. I mean, not every idea is a home run, but we're always going to strive to make the best quality and the most technical sound products we can for our customers.
Well said. All right, see you guys later. Make sure you check out G5 Online and Prime. We'll see you.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.